Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Oh, there you are. All right. Our assignment from yesterday. In awareness, there is no becoming. There is no end to be gained. There is silent observation without choice and condemnation from which there comes understanding. Jai Krishnamurti. For the next 24 hours, allow the insights from the assignment so far to percolate in awareness. Perhaps review your notes, re-listen to the radio shows, and revisit the recordings you've made to date. Then make a recording that assists you to summarize your process of suffering around beginning. As you listen to this recording, as you look at conditioning from awareness, without choice or condemnation, what drops in as understanding? RL, what you see. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, this is Karen.
Well, hello, Karen.
Hi. So happy to be here. I have seen so much because... I've just seen so much, and it all connects. But what I'm looking at mostly is I'm working on this project at home, and I've been so lit up, and there's so much energy in it, and then I watch the movement, the excitement, and the lit upness shift into urgency and begin to drive the project. And then I notice that, so I watch it move back. You know, I'm just watching this back and forth, ego taking over. And I would say that probably happens with a lot of beginnings in a lot of areas of my life.
Yours.
Yeah, and very
that would
familiar.
Be true for all of us.
Yeah, and so there. It's I know we aren't at the behavior change yet, but one of the biggest things I've learned is. Has happened on practice calls because there's so much energy. At first, I couldn't stop. What ego would take over the project, I couldn't stop working on the project. So I'd listen to, you know, like the radio show, and I'd be working on the project. Now I'm just writing. Just sitting here at home, and there's so much energy in the body that before the radio show, I have to dance. Like, I have to put on some rock and roll music, and I have to dance it out so I can sit. And before everything,
And Karen, just right there, that is so wonderful. Because what you are, in fact, describing is the entire process of how it works for every human being, as far as I can tell, right? So there's this tremendous amount of life force that very few people are in touch with, except get a glimpse of periodically when there's that kind of excitement and lit-upness about a project, say, or a person or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And there's just all that life force and joy and enthusiasm and excitement, right? And then ego takes over and siphons it off. And then here it comes again, and right? And so what we encourage people to do in practice, of course, is what you're doing, which is have that energy for the human being, which is what happens when you get up and dance. Instead of getting up and doing what ego tells you to do so that it can siphon off the energy, you have it for Karen.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's wonderful. And you don't lose it. What you have to do, this is where we talk about expanding the container, right? So you have to learn to be able to accommodate more and more energy, more and more life force, which you can do with expanded awareness.
Yes. Thank you for that. That's I think maybe for a lot of us, for me, I'm home. So I can have a very monastic environment because I live by myself and I've got two pets. And so everything is very magnified, like it is on a retreat for me.
Yes.
And the other thing that I haven't tapped into so much since my husband was so ill is that I know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing right now. And this is what life has asked me to do. And at first I didn't know why I was doing it. I just knew that it dropped in from life and I needed to do this. And now it's becoming more and more apparent and the project's just taking off. And I just know that this is my work.
This is the thing.
This is it. So
this is it. And Karen, not to put you on the spot, because maybe I don't know what you're doing, but is this the mask project?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to acknowledge that because information is going to come out to Sangha soon about how we can all participate in a mask project.
Yeah.
And probably a lot of people in Sangha are already doing that. I don't know. But we're going to offer that to people. And so, yes, I feel that exact enthusiasm that you feel for this project. And as you say, there is that feeling of this is the thing that I'm being asked to do. And so do we know that? No. But it's what it feels like. And there's all this life force with it. And then what we get to practice with is not turning that life force over to ego on any level, not giving it the energy, not letting it distract us into other things, but just staying with what feels now like the guidance from life, this.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, my dear.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Gosho.
Thanks, Karen. Oh, that's such a wonderful conversation, right, Cherry? That we are able to tap into so much life force when the container is not filled with conditioned mind, and that we have to actually expand that container sometimes when the life force is enormous within us. And what a joyful, welcoming process that is. And to watch how the conditioning would take that life force or reduce the size of the container, right, into urgency or drive or a collapsed awareness and not allow us to enjoy this process of hosting what is coming through us.
Yeah. And, of course, the other thing that conditioning would do is make it content related. So, okay, well, then I've got to figure out what I can do that's going to end. It's never going to go that way. So in each and every moment, each one of us is being lived in the way that we are being lived, and being with that is where that energy is, that life force is, not leaving it to come up with a better idea for life about what I should be doing to make a difference, which is, it's really, that's always the case, and it's always really important, but now we get to see it with greater clarity because ego does want to take advantage of something like a pandemic to step in with, okay, let's figure out what to do.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, my goodness. I'm on. This is Ladima.
Hey, Ladima.
Hello?
Yeah. What are you seeing?
I have been... Oh. The thing that I'm seeing is something is a pattern that happens a lot, but I just finally saw it, and that is at the very beginning of this this session, the focus on beginnings was I was writing, you know, jotting down, doing this first assignment and jotting down my thoughts or the things that came to me, and the first thing that came is like, you love beginnings, but you're really bad at endings. So really what you ought to be focusing on is endings so that you can make space for new beginnings. So you really need to clean out the basement and finish these projects and all this stuff. So it, like, and I really believed it. I really believed it. And I thought, that's what I need to do.
We're trained to fall for it. Yep. Yep. We're deeply, deeply. It's why you said this has been going on forever. You just saw it. That's how deeply conditioned we are to believe, number one, that crapola in the head is me, that I'm thinking it, and that it's true and it's real, and three, I need to act on it.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't written it down. And then
is why we stopped from writing it down. Yep.
Yeah, and then like recording it and then going back. Like, it took like a couple weeks, and one of the later exercises where we were supposed to go back and kind of look at the process, you know, like review, mm-hmm. pay attention, and then review look at the personalities and all of that. And I mean, mm-hmm. listening to the radio show, you know, it was just, now that I look back, I can see where like life and light was like trying to like send beams of light into this black bowling ball, and it just
and isn't that a wonderful perception, right?
Yeah.
just that oh my gosh, life, light, intelligence, awareness is always there. It's what's there, and this bowling ball, this giant, this person is contained in this giant bowling ball, and still life and light trying to reach her, just finding every opportunity to get in.
Yeah. And I mean, it took like this person on the radio saying this thing that prompted me to think about something a different way or look at something a different way. And then this person. And then finally, you know, just having the willingness to sit down and do the assignment.
Yes.
You know, and
yes,
and praying, literally like praying, God, help me find the willingness to do the assignment because I just don't have it.
Right. Except, Ladima, what you can see in that is the only reason it occurred to you to pray is because you have the willingness.
Yeah. That's another one of those beams of light trying to get in the bowling ball.
That's exactly right. You wouldn't have thought of it if it weren't there for you.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have seen it if it weren't in the light.
And then I realized like how long I've been listening to that story, that seeming, you know, that supposed truth about me, and how much I've been missing out on new beginnings and really enjoying beginnings, and not just the ones where I'm torqued up, you know, but like really truly enjoying all kinds of little beginnings.
Yes. Now, a word of caution, don't let it take you down that road. Don't let it the road. Of,
no.
Yeah, good, good. Because
exactly, right.
Yeah, because you've seen it. It's a new day. Here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're in the light, looking for the light, focused on the light.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. Very good. Very happy for you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Thank you. I was just going to ask a question about the queue. So I've been connecting on an iPad, and I thought I was putting myself in
the queue. Ladima, that, as I'm fond of saying, that is above my pay grade. So send a note in, and somebody with those skills will assist you.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Ladima.
Gesho.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ladima. You know, Sherry, that's one of those fantastic spiritual places for me personally, is that sense over and over and over again that we're being sought.
Yes, yes.
That life is seeking life, that there is guidance everywhere. And somehow or the other, that the fact that I'm identified with what makes me forget what is me is never, it never stands in the way of the process I'm in of realizing that conscious awareness is what I am.
Yes.
Right? That I always have evidence that connection, that sort of within quotes self-realization or the realization of what I am is always going on.
Yes. Yes. We couldn't be in identification with ego if there weren't the light of life. Without being awareness, we couldn't know that we are caught in ego. We couldn't know that there's such a thing as ego, right? We wouldn't have a picture of that big dark bowling ball,
right? And that, but and what's even more comforting is that it feels like a passive process, but it's not. It's a very active process.
That being
sought is a very active process, and the seeking is a very active process, and it happens on a realm of non-identification. So it's happening even if I'm identified, and I just drop the identification to recognize that ongoing process, and that's so comforting.
Yes. Well, and I could hear, you could hear, and I bet a lot of people could hear the wonder in Ladima's voice, in the realization that that's the case. Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm listening to something in my head that says, it's hopeless, or I'm being led off in some bizarre but familiar direction, and yet all the time I'm being sought. These insights are dropping in.
It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh my gosh. Hey, this is Diane in Colorado.
Well, hello. What are you seeing?
I am seeing, you know, so much of this is the same thing in a new way, right? Like a new...
Always.
A new level. And I just love this, the image that you were just talking about, this streams of light into this black bowling ball. Like, that's my new favorite. And I was just seeing with a new clarity how ego has me choosing to focus on exactly what I don't want.
So much. Yes. And then we wonder why it's there, right? We wonder why that's our life experience.
Yeah, and why we feel so crappy and why, you know, all of that stuff that's not what we're going after, but you get so sucked into that bowling ball and then you think the bowling ball is all there is.
That's right.
And just that whole process. So I was just, you know, like so much of this, after you've been at it a little while, it's not news, but somehow it seems that there's a new shimmer or something around the insight.
Well, you're seeing it with greater clarity, right? That's what you're describing. And so that's why I jumped in with, all, you know, there is nothing new. We're not going to get to something new, right? We're going to, so as we go along, you know, at each juncture, we realize, oh, I see. Oh, okay. And what we know is the very first thing we ever grokked about, say, awareness practice, that's what I'm realizing now, but just at such a deeper level. So it's not like awareness has changed. I've changed. And that's what you're describing. The awareness is more available to you. You're more aware of awareness. So the ego is shrinking and what you realize has always been there containing ego is awareness. Right? And Diane, one other thing about it, which is why I just nag people without without respite, is what you said initially. I spend all this time focused on what I don't want. That's where recording and listening can change our lives in a rapid pace. Okay? So when I realize that, then now I'm really motivated to get attention on what it is that I want. Right? Which is to be here in life, out of the bowling ball, into the life and light that is the awareness that is me. I need to get attention on this here now, and out of that story in conditioned mind. Because you've seen how your unhappiness, your suffering is happening.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is huge. Puts you in a very small number of people ever born on this planet.
Yes, and then ego is jumping in with, yep, you've seen that before, sweetheart, and there you are doing it again. It's like, no thanks, I don't need to listen to that.
You absolutely do not. That is one of the first lines in the story in conditioned mind that is designed to drag you into suffering, and you've seen that, right? So the fact that you saw it right there is all the proof you need that you are awareness and you are in awareness. You'd have to leave awareness in order to follow that story into conditioned mind and be able to suffer. Isn't that good? It's kind of the whole deal. And now, where we are is where we always are. Practice. Now we practice. We redirect the attention. We realize, oh, I see. Redirect the attention. Oh, there I am again, listening to ego. Redirect the attention. And then we have the Ladima experience of how often it just drops into you that you are in a story and you know you can redirect the attention. And that's that little tractor beam of life, love, and light pulling you home. Okay.
Yes, and the intentional redirection to it again and again and again and again.
That's it. Nothing new. There's nothing new. That's the whole story. Choose it. Turn the attention. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay,
thank you so much.
That's what I saw. Thank you.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Diane. Oh, I love it, Cherry. And then we say, that's what I saw, as if it's just normal. It's the whole deal.
Yes.
And to live from that place of staying with practice and then encountering resistance, encountering feeling bad, encountering all of these things that from a conditioned perspective will discourage us from practice, but staying with it.
Yes.
To get to that place of increasing clarity. And
yes.
That clarity allows us to see the whole thing and then focus the attention on what we practice, which is an expanded
yes.
awareness and a redirect of attention.
Yes. And the delight in summing up the wisdom of the ages in that simple sentence. That's
yes.
what I saw.
Oh, all right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller? Okay, well, maybe they're double muted, but let me bring someone else on then.
Hello?
Ah!
There we go.
There you are.
Am I on?
You are.
Oh, okay. There wasn't the normal... lead in,
okay.
So I wasn't sure. All I heard was...
There's no longer a normal. That's what we need to do.
Ah.
This.
Boy, no kidding. This is Ken from Morgan Hill.
Well, hello.
Hi. Oh, geez. A lot, actually. Actually, when this all kind of went crazy, I was in Costa Rica. So,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting to see the process down there and then see the process up here. I actually made it out of here, but I'm sorry, what?
Kind of wish you'd stayed.
Well, you know, I kind of struggled over that, and I just chose that I would rather be in my own home and in my own space, knowing, you know, to mm-hmm. to deal with the situation. So mm-hmm. that was the reason. But it was, you know, that it was. There were a lot of rumors about what I'd be going through the airport.
Mm-hmm.
So I flew out of the main airport near San Jose, Costa Rica, and mm-hmm. there was a full plane, and because a lot of people were trying to get out and get home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told when I got to L.A. that we'd be screened and be long lines and all this stuff. Well, when I got to L.A., there wasn't anything. There was nobody.
Yeah.
And there was no screening, nothing being done. It actually looked like they told all the employees to stay home. And they had quit the shuttles, probably maybe because they didn't have their people to drive them. So you had to go back through security because I was flying next to San Jose. And I'd actually missed my flight because we were held on the runway in San Jose for a while. But anyway, so I thought I had missed my flight, so I had to go back through security. And I walked out on the street at LAX, 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Wednesday, and normally there's thousands of people and hundreds of cars and noise. There was one bus going by, and about an eighth of a mile away, I could see two people. It was mm-hmm. like walking into one of those movies.
Yeah. You know, surreal. And did you come home and quarantine yourself and join the rest?
Yeah, I actually did. And one of the things I kind of saw in doing all this was when we had the online class, January Socratic class, mm-hmm. one of the things I was working on was New Beginnings. But at that time, I was just thinking in terms of starting my day.
Yep.
And then it went from now
Ken,
starting my whole
weren't
life.
Weren't we innocent back then? We were so innocent, right? We had no idea. You know, I'm working on starting my day, and now we're working on, as you say, starting our lives, which from an awareness perspective or a spiritual perspective is wonderful, because one of the things that's happening with so many people is this realization that, wow, I was sleepwalking. You know, I was just ego we were holding hands and I was sleepwalking along through life, and now I think I'm waking up.
This was a real slap on the side of the head. So, one of the things I noticed in coming back was, you know, actually walking out in the street and seeing nobody there. I mean, as surreal as it was, I thought, boy, this is nice and peaceful here. And then, of course, the ego voice is like, well, you know, there's big problems. You shouldn't be feeling good about this.
Right. You can't enjoy this.
We can't enjoy this. And the same thing, when I ended up catching my flight, they told me I'd have to catch a later flight, but the plane actually waited for it. So when I got on the second plane, there was hardly anybody on it, which actually mm-hmm. under a normal situation, you'd think, oh, boy, I have it to myself almost, you know. Mm-hmm. And then we take off, and when I left California, it was very dry, and the hills were starting to turn brown. And I look out the window, and the hills are green, and the snow was just, there's snow on the mountains just north of L.A., and I think, God, that is beautiful. Of course, the ego says, again, you shouldn't be enjoying this with this going on, you know. So
mm-hmm.
I guess what I'm getting at is...
Yeah, that's the beginning, right? I'm beginning to choose a life experience over an ego experience.
Yeah, and I mean, these were kind of things that, you know, I've seen before, but it's just that with the practice,
there,
I was there, and it was just like this you know, it was just such an outside voice. I guess it was almost like somebody in the seat next to me was talking to him, you know.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. Mm-hmm. That is an image that I just love for what we're up against. You know, people suffer because the voice is in their head. And so it's me. You know, I'm thinking this. This is me. I'm causing this. And I've encouraged people in exactly that way. Imagine that voice in your head is somebody standing next to you. How much time and attention do you want to give them? They're negative. They're in a terrible place. They're suffering, okay? But turn your attention away from them. You don't have to suffer. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad
and
you
And it's just
it.
Like I guess we're at the end of the show, but, yeah, I just kind of seen since then how conditioning is trying to use this new environment to learn its language and then to use it on me.
Oh, absolutely. But the magic is you're there for it in a way you never have been before. So it's lost huge amounts of power. And because we're all sequestered, then we can't, and we're able to share this time together, we are actually accelerating our ability to stay present and see what's going on and redirect the attention. So in many ways, we're reaping some big spiritual boons out of this.
Huge, and thank you for doing this. I had no idea the how extraordinary this workshop would be in these times.
Yeah. We're lucky. Thank you, sir.
We
appreciate
are.
It.
Okay, thank you. Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ken. And Sherry, that brings us to the end of the show and our assignment for today. The way out of suffering is to be engaged in the process of ending suffering. Assignment. As you sit with all you've seen so far about how you're caused to suffer around the process of beginning, allow to arise in conscious awareness what freedom from suffering would look like for you. How would you rather be with the process of beginning? What would you choose as an alternative to the habitual conditioned orientation? RL, what you see.
Yeah, there's the recording we're looking for, huh?
Mm-hmm. I would rather be excited at the prospect of beginning something than be overwhelmed and resistant to it.
Mm-hmm. And you want to expand on that, right? You really want to get a lot of details in that one. Okay, mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Thanks. That was it, Sherry. So thank
you
very much.
Oh, that's it. We're there. All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody. Indeed. Go happy.
Go happy.